Well, DrupalCon is a big to-do.
Yeah.
A big to-do.
It really is. Good evening and welcome once again to the Drupal Easy Podcast. I am your interim host, Ryan Price. The aliens decided they needed to take Andrew back for more research. With us tonight is Mr. Michael Anello.
Hello, it's nice to be back in the good old US of A.
And also our special guest this evening, Mr. Damian McKenna. You might remember Damian from such episodes as the other one where the aliens abducted Andrew.
Good evening.
And how are you guys both doing this evening? Are you in a fine Drupal mood?
Today's been one of those days where I did about half Drupal stuff and then half just, you know, answering emails. So I'm raring to go.
It's ready. You're ready to talk tech.
I'm a little bit primed, yeah.
Well, I replaced the keyboard on my laptop this morning. I feel very technically savvy. I feel ready to challenge large organizations with my screwdriver.
And now you can send emails to people who have the letter Z in their name as well.
And capital W for some reason.
Oh, that's a good one too.
Yeah. So let's get right down to the stories. Big story of the month would be DrupalCon Paris 2009. It happened. Mike and I were there. A couple of other folks from Florida were there. And it was huge fun, super fantastic, amazing, awesome.
So what do you think, compare it to DC? DrupalCon DC, you know, what was that, back in March?
Yes.
It's hard, you know, it's hard to compare, you know, a European DrupalCon with a North American, but just...
Well, if DrupalCon DC was a frat party, then DrupalCon Paris was like a sit-down dinner.
Hmm. Interesting.
With the distant cousins.
That's right. That's right. Those European cousins that only come over for you know, big family outings.
Now, let me ask a question. Are all tech conferences in Europe primarily English speaking? Because, you know, that City University of Paris, absolutely beautiful place, but I would walk around Paris and, you know, feel like a foreigner, but I'd walk in that building and, you know, I would hear English 98% of the time I was walking around.
Well, English tends to be the second most common language in the world of IT after binary. It's a little easier than binary.
I should learn how to speak binary.
No. Yeah, Mike, why don't you write all of your emails in assembler? Come on.
Yes. I mean 001101.
That'll never happen.
So, yeah, you know, DrupalCon Paris is great. I'm kind of a fan of smaller conferences to begin with. You know, DrupalCon DC was, what, 1,500 people? That was just monstrous, and six tracks going on at once. This was, you know, for my personality, this was a little bit more manageable. I think there were, what, four rooms going on at a time? Three or four?
Yeah, I think it was four. It was good, and they had always a BOF room. The BOFs were much smaller at Paris, I have to say.
Yeah, the BOFs were, you know, dare I say, a little bit, you know, I don't want to say the individual BOFs were disappointing, but the organization of the BOFs.
The volume and location of the BOFs.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. The BOFs I attended were, you know, fantastic. You know, familiar faces, good topics, all the usual. But it just didn't seem like it was as much of a priority as it was.
And really, because of the smaller number of attendees, several of the sessions in the two smaller rooms felt like BOFs.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The Palantir room, I think, was kind of one of the smaller rooms, and both of the sessions that I went to in that room were more discussions than presentations.
Yep, yep. So, Mike, we went through on our last podcast, and we talked about what sessions we were looking forward to. Do you have a favorite session that you attended?
I'll tell you, I do, and it came out of left field for me because I'm not really a designer. I wish I was a designer. I wish I had that skill, but I'm more of a, you know, a developer, and I actually enjoy doing theming where I take someone's mock-up and I can apply that. But I actually went to both of Mark Bolton's sessions, and his typography session was amazing. I probably learned more about design in that 45, 50 minutes, however long it was, than I have in the past 5 years.
That guy is,
you know, not only is he an amazing designer, but, you know, he can communicate well.
He's a wordsmith.
He is a wordsmith. Yeah. So that would probably be, you know, when I look back now, we're what, 2 weeks? 2 weeks gone from DrupalCon at this point. That's kind of the one session that really sticks out in my mind that I can, like, remember specific things that he said. And I've actually used two or three of them already in work since I've been home.
So, Ryan, what was your favorite session?
Well, Damien, I'm glad you asked. I actually kind of have to cheat a little bit because it was several sessions that were around the migration of The Economist off of a Cold Fusion site onto a full Drupal infrastructure. And you had the folks from Four Kitchens getting involved. They have, obviously, their press flow sort of distribution of Drupal, where they put out this patched version of Drupal, which is very similar to the version that runs on Drupal.org. It's got a couple of these patches that are not necessarily intended for general consumption. Like, somebody who just wants to run it on his GoDaddy account wouldn't really need to mess with press flow. But when you're talking about running it across several servers and, you know, in very sort of high availability environments, Pressflow's got a couple of those extra little nuggets that you want to throw in there. And then a big one was Joshua Koenig from Chapter 3. He had put together this entire automated testing, continuous integration environment so that whenever they would check in a change, they would run the simple test suite against core and also against their contributed modules. So everything they were doing was very, very high level of test coverage. And the way he set it up, and he's actually now released a project, which you can go and you can download sort of the source files for it. And you just like go and stick this up onto Amazon and you can have your own automated testing server pretty easily. And we'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Did, out of interest, did it also use Selenium for output testing, or was it?
Absolutely did. And that was something that I know you, Damien, and I had messed around with before when we were working on some projects. And it's the browser version of it. There's a Firefox plugin called Selenium IDE that you can get it to do some things, but I believe that this is more of like a command line scripted kind of an environment, and it really helps you test to make sure your forms are working and your form validation is working and stuff like that, and that you can do these five actions in order and nothing breaks. So, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because the Selenium was a big part of it too.
And it's probably important to note that I believe all the presentations are now available on archive.org, so you can go and, you know, watch them basically, you know, as they happened.
One thing I really wish they would do is go into the conference site and link all the videos sort of more officially.
Right, yeah.
Some of the authors have done that, and some of the authors have posted Flash Players on their own site or whatever you may have, but I'd like to see more, because I'm constantly going back to the DrupalCon Paris site to find a session that I either attended or might have missed to try and find the slides and the video. If they give me a password, I'd be happy to do it.
Oh, look, we got that on tape. Someone send Ryan a password. So the other big news to come out of Paris was the next DrupalCon.
Indeed.
Taking place a little bit later this year in April. And Ryan, you want to tell us where that's going to be?
Well, it's going to be in sunny yet chilly and foggy San Francisco, California, USA. Over there on the West Coast. It's been a while since there was a West Coast. I believe there was a Portland DrupalCon back in the day. Well, was it Seattle?
No, 4 years ago, it was actually my first DrupalCon was at Yahoo. In Sunnyvale.
Oh, which is almost San Francisco.
Yeah, it's Silicon Valley. It's just down the, you know,
Well, down the road. Met a lot of very nice people from Portland and Seattle, and they deserve to have a DrupalCon, and I know the Portland people have been talking about it.
So the the DrupalCon San Francisco, their website is up. It's DrupalConSF2010.org, and they claim they're going to start taking reservations. What's the right word? Signups. Something I've at a loss for words for DrupalCon here in the next month or so.
So registrations.
You'd think I would know that. I would know that word by now.
This is how we keep Damien around. Yes. He has a mastery of the English language.
Just throwing a word anytime. Just help us out. Throw me a bone. So the website looks great. And actually, two plugs in one podcast for these guys. But I believe that Chapter 3 is one of the groups behind the organization. Because isn't Chapter 3 out in Silicon Valley? So in other news, Damien just got back from Drupal Camp Atlanta a couple days ago. And that was a pretty big camp from what I understand. Is that right?
It was. Compared to the numbers we had at Drupal Camp Florida this past February of about 100, they had 250 attendees. They ran out of tickets a few weeks before the event, which was pretty amazing.
So where did they have it? What was the facility?
It was at a university in... Hold on. I forgot the name of the university.
It right in downtown?
No, it was north at the Kennesaw State University.
Oh, okay.
About a 30-mile drive north of downtown.
So how did they run it? Did they run it true bar camp style, or did they have pre-planned tracks and sessions?
They had pre-planned sessions. There were a couple of rooms set aside for buff sessions, but really there were only a few that filled in there. Most of it was the pre-organized sessions that covered everything. I was glad to see there was a good intro to Drupal session ran by Doug Van. I popped in there myself, and I was lucky enough that my employer had given me a bunch of swag to bring up, so everybody was happy to see swag. And I gave out a lot during that particular session. But
were you there as a recruiter, Damien? Was that ulterior motive?
It was a combination of discovering, hey, there's this Drupal camp in the same place as, hey, my wife discovered there's a really awesome aquarium. So we took an impromptu weekend trip up.
I've heard about that aquarium.
It is amazing.
I've heard they've got a really big glass window.
Yes, with lots of big fish and very thick glass.
So tell me, at the Drupal camp, did they have tracks? Was there an entire day of a beginner Drupal track and maybe an intermediate track? Or how did they break up the sessions, or how was it kind of organized?
They had a fairly wide coverage for topics and experience. There was actually... they didn't have specific tracks. I think maybe for next year it would help them to do that, to make it more obvious to some of the beginners. I spoke with one person at the beginning who'd never used Drupal. He had just started dabbling with PHP a bit, and he wasn't sure where to start and what other sessions to do.
Did it seem like they made an effort to bring in people new to Drupal, or do you get the feeling that they did? Okay. So were their sessions geared more towards introducing Drupal? Hi, I'm Drupal.
There was the one beginning one, just general intro to what you can do with Drupal. Then there were several, there's one at beginning theme development, beginning CCK. You really had to, if you're a beginner, you really had to attend the first beginner class to get a feel for what it was, and then with a little bit of help along the way, you'd be able to get going with it. Drupal has so much to it that even saying, here's a beginner's class to CCK, may not be quite as obvious to somebody completely new to it. Well, what is CCK and why do I care? So there's a balance of getting information to people who've just started to dabble a little bit, and also people who have never, say, installed it themselves, never really touched it. But after that, or outside of that, there were really good sessions on features. I forget the names of the presenters, but so apologies to them. All of the sessions I saw were really good. There was one on features for, which, as you may have seen, lets you bundle several different pieces together into a packaged feature of, say, a view, content type, some maybe a context to pull it all together, and it's really a neat way of reusing components. There was a very interesting one on domain access, which lets you run multiple sites off of the one install, but not only that, also share content and be able to delineate, okay, from the one interface, the one admin interface, this article goes on to this site.
So, Damien, you're saying that maybe if some magazine had an American version and an Australian version, and they wanted to share content, maybe, that might be a good use for this one, not putting my finger directly on anything in particular?
That would be a pretty good use case. That particular one you're thinking of would need additional work to get it working the exact way that...
Well, I'm sure.
But we're talking in general.
It's a good example.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one. Or say you've got an affiliate site where you've got, say, a site that covers, say, the Orlando market and the Atlanta market, and you want some regional-only articles to show on the corresponding place, but maybe you want general articles to show up in both. And they've got a really good system for controlling that. And it seemed also to be very extensible. They've got a pretty good API structure, and some of their API hooks have been cleaned up and merged into Drupal 7, which is always kind of a good key to see how good is this module. If you're starting to see pieces of it be moved into core, that's a good sign.
So, overall, I mean, do you think that the camp kind of served the purpose as far as people who are new to Drupal less satisfied, people who were familiar with Drupal less satisfied, and people who are very familiar with Drupal, like yourself, left satisfied? Do you think they,
yes,
they kind of, yeah?
I think they had a very good range of topics.
Was it just one day?
It was just one day. Started at 10 o'clock with a keynote by Addison Berry, who's the documentation manager for Drupal.org. Give a really insightful and engaging presentation on the Drupal community and how Drupal really is the community. You can only do so much with a bunch of code. It's the Drupal that drives it. And it was very engaging and encouraging to get you starting to do more in the community yourself.
You know, the only thing about that worries me is when having a keynote like that is, for people like us, you know, and I would say 90% of the people listening to this podcast, you know, we all know who Addy is, and, you know, Addy's fantastic and amazing. But for people who are new to Drupal, was what she presented, was it enough to kind of keep their attention? Was it kind of generic enough, and maybe generic's not the right word, but motivating to people to get them involved in the community?
And she kept it simple.
That's great.
and was just gave an overview of different aspects of the community, different places you can find help, and then also the flip side of different places where even somebody who doesn't know very much could start helping others. The simple fact that maybe you've already, you may not know very much, but you've managed to install Drupal yourself is a huge step forward versus somebody who has just, say, downloaded the zip file and they don't know what to do next.
Right. Yeah, you touched on it before. I mean, it's Drupal. There's so many different topics to talk about with Drupal that it's hard to please everybody with what you're going to talk about, especially when you have, when your audience varies from people who are just, hi, I'm curious as to if Drupal can help me, to, hey, I've been doing Drupal for 3 years, teach me something I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's been really interesting this year, especially. We've seen a lot of these very niche camps springing up around Drupal. We had Drupal for Designers. There was a Drupal library, sort of a very large meetup. I don't know if you would call it a camp necessarily. There's been a Drupal media event, and definitely there's a lot of these open media events where Drupal tends to have a large, you know, representation.
And well, you can even extend that and, you know, start talking about the various sprints.
Absolutely, yeah, lots of people getting together. I mean, you know, anywhere from as few as 4 people to as many as, I think, 15 or 16 people in certain sprints, all flying into a certain spot to work on core or some, you know, large, very complex modules that without them, Drupal exists, but with them, Drupal becomes something more than just this tool that you download and install on your site. It really becomes a platform, if I can use that word, that, you know, you build these sort of not quite a service, not quite a site, and not quite an application on top of.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Damien, did Drupal Camp Atlanta, was that a free event, or did you have to pay to get in there?
It was completely free. It was sponsored by lots of consulting firms from around the area and, I guess, nationwide.
You haven't been to a DrupalCon, correct?
No.
Correct. So is it fair to say that this is the biggest Drupal event that you've attended?
Yes. And it was my second. The first being Drupal Camp Florida. And it just made me hungry for more.
Well, hopefully, maybe we'll see you in San Francisco in a few months.
Here's hoping. You never know.
Well, that seems like a great segue to our next very quick topic, and that is the next Drupal Camp Florida. Planning for it is well underway, and I think it's pretty safe to announce the dates.
I think it's very safe, Mike. Right. So Drupal Camp Florida, part 2... The Electric Boogaloo will be happening in February, which is when everybody else is having snow and evil weather, and Florida is doing just fine. And February 20th and 21st, our secret plan to change the world here is that February 20th will be a camp with some planned sessions, a sort of room that's very geared towards people who have seldom used Drupal, if ever, and another room for people who know their way around, and maybe a smaller room which is very hardcore and very code heavy. So we can try to sort of get everybody's bases covered. And that's day one. On day two, we've actually decided that we're going to get hands-on, and we're going to find a nonprofit organization, and we're going to have people bid. They're going to be local, I think, is kind of one of our rules, because we need them to be in the room with us. And they're going to submit a bid. They're going to submit like an RFP to us, and we'll, as the community of Central Florida, Florida as a whole, will review it, and we will build a site for them in one day. And we're going to pair up a less experienced person with a more experienced person. Have I missed anything, Mike?
No, I think you just about covered it. The only thing I would mention is, last year we capped registration at 100, and we hit that. This year we're capping registration at 150, and we fully expect to hit that as well. So registration is not open yet, but will be soon, so just stay tuned. you know, we're super excited about this. We're going to, it's going to be bigger and better than last year, more speakers. You know, we're really psyched about it.
And definitely, everyone is more than welcome to come and visit. If we have to find you some place to sleep or an expensive place to sleep, we'd be happy to help out. You can contact us through groups.drupal.org/Florida and hop on there and send some people some contact forms. I would go with the people whose pictures you see often, like Mike and myself and Andrew and Damien. Or would be maybe good people to contact about stuff like that. And we have others, but those are the names and voices you would know from this show.
Very good. So our next topic is something that I've answered countless emails about, so this will hopefully put an end to it. We're going to announce some book winners.
Hooray!
Because it seems like forever that we interviewed Greg Knadison about his cracking Drupal book. And
it's a crackingly good book.
It is cracking good. That is, it is a very good book. And J.I. Green's Drupal 6 Content Administration book, which if you listen to that podcast, that was the one where I said it's probably not for people listening to the podcast, but it's definitely for their clients. When you launch a Drupal site and you're turning the keys over to your client, this is a great user manual. So before the podcast, we went ahead and picked some completely random winners. And the winners are, for the Cracking Drupal book, we have 3 copies to give away. The winners are Kim Day, Richard Everts, and Michael J. Ross. And I've already gone ahead and contacted all of them and just waiting to hear back from them so I can get their books in the mail.
A warm congratulations to those people.
Woohoo!
You circumnavigated the random number generator.
Absolutely. So that, thanks to Wiley Publishing for providing us those free copies to give out. And then Drupal 6 Content Administration, thank you to Pact Publishing. They gave us 2 copies to give out, and those 2 winners are Scott Mowry and Dan Serrato. And it's kind of funny because both of those winners contacted us via Twitter, and Scott Mowry has posted exactly 1 update to Twitter ever, and that update was his contest entry.
That's fantastic.
So he is 1 for 1. He is batting 1,000.
Well, hopefully he's following Drupal Easy.
Yes, we are one of about his 9 followers.
Okay.
So... But, yeah.
And, Mike, we're currently giving away a book as well. We have 1 open contest. Am I right?
Yes, we have 1 open contest for Drupal 6 Social Networking. That was podcast 19, the podcast previous to this one. Another very, very cool book from Pact Publishing. That one, you know, my 1-word description of that book is it's a really good introduction to Drupal core and a lot of its functionality. You know, the social networking subtitle notwithstanding, I would say probably a good 60% of the book covers just Drupal core, and it's really good reference for people new to Drupal core saying, what is this taxonomy you talk of?
Right.
Would you think it's a good bridge between a how-to kind of cookbook scenario versus a normal walk through the entire system?
I would say the Drupal 6 social networking book would be good for people who have downloaded Drupal, played around with it, but don't really have their confidence yet. You know, read the, you know, check out the sections of that book, you know, involving content types and taxonomy and user permissions. It really kind of cements a lot of ideas for people. And just gives them the confidence that what they're doing, you know, is right or wrong. It's a little bit of a how-to book, but I think it's more just, you know, and I talked to the author about it, you know, whether or not that was his intention, and he said, well, it kind of was and it kind of wasn't. But it's a really cool book, you know, even for junior developers to kind of get them up to speed on what Drupal Core is all about and its functionality and its, you know, its expandability. It's a pretty good starting point. And we got a couple other books in the pipeline that we'll be reviewing and giving away copies of. So, you know, subscribe to the podcast. If you're a first-time listener, you can go to iTunes, search for Drupal Easy. Or you can follow our RSS feed on DrupalEasy.com.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Mike. And we have a couple of Drupal Easy, I guess you would say they're recaps almost.
Yeah, you were just up north.
Right. This is our little Drupal Easy commercial, I guess.
You can't really call it a commercial because we're not selling anything. We're just telling you about stuff that we already did sell.
Self-promotional.
Yeah, it's like a time machine, self-promotional.
I got the opportunity to revisit a former home of mine. I used to live in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and on my way back from Paris, I made a stop in London, I made a stop in Detroit, and I met up with a few people there who were interested in learning more about Drupal. We talked about some theming stuff, we talked about some general configuration stuff. You know, views, content types, node queues, flags, and the like, and showed off some projects that I've worked on recently, so sort of case studies, and I got a couple of messages. I was twittering about it and posting about it that I really needed to post on the groups.drupal.org for Detroit. And funny story, they had just upgraded GDO to Drupal 6, and the single sign-on was kicking me out. So I apologize to the Detroit users group for not getting more of an advance word out. It was kind of some technical difficulties, but I think I will be coming back. There's a community college up there that's deploying some Drupal, and they're going to be having me maybe come up and do some training. I don't want to give anything away, but if I'm back in the area, I'll be sure to send you guys a message. And I also made a stop off in Minneapolis to see our friends over at Advantage Labs. You guys may remember Ali Mika. She does the Geo module. She does a lot of Geo-specific stuff. And she also ran a session at DrupalCon Paris called Paying for the Plumbing. And that was actually a really cool session. Basically, it was her, Angie Byron from Lullabot, Eric Gunderson from Development Seed, and someone from Palantir, and now her name is escaping me. You know which one I'm talking about. She's like the head Palantir. I'm sorry for forgetting your name right now, but they put on a neat session talking about how to get your clients to sort of sign on to open source and how they understand that their budget will probably go to developing some GPL code and how to get them to be okay with that and sort of build some of that time into your workflow. So that was kind of neat. And that was a little sidebar for you, I guess. But Minneapolis and Detroit, two really fun places to visit. And I hope to be back there soon.
Also, fantastic.
Also, if you have not checked out our videos from DrupalCon Paris, they're right on our homepage right now, DrupalEasy.com. We also have a section under our media tab up at the top of our website. It says Training Consulting Media. Go click on media. You could look at the videos right there. You could click on the video tab and just see the videos. We've only got the three right now, but we've got one with Larry Garfield, a.k.a. Krell. We've got one with Doug Green, a.k.a. Doug Green, and one with Claudio, a.k.a. Modulist, and Mark Ray from Tallahassee. And if you want to get sort of a live in-person update on the whole designers versus developers thing, Claudio was one of the guys who sort of had a big blog post and some news about that, and he kind of responded to us on video. So definitely worth checking out. And a quick shout out to Mr. Morton, Morton DK. He sent me a message and he said he wants to come on real soon and give a response and talk some more about this whole designers developers thing, so we'll probably be having him on at some point when we can figure out the time zone differences.
I'm starting to think that the whole designers versus developers thing is not actually happening.
Nah.
I think it's one of those things where it's only happening because people are talking about it.
Right.
Like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Like swine flu, is that what you're saying, Mike?
It could be like swine flu. And it's you know, we should be so lucky to have problems like this.
That's right.
Where we have, you know, so many, you know, people in the community who are so passionate.
And people are disagreeing. And they have really intelligent points, and it's a really good discussion. I mean, OSHOC, no.
Please, no. You know.
I really liked at DrupalCon Paris the first word out of Mark Bolton's mouth before he even said hello. I'm not going to talk about designers versus developers. I can't do his accent. He has this very like North English accent, but he's awesome.
I'm going to save you now, Ryan, and I'm going to say that you were thinking about Tiffany Ferris.
Thank you so much. Tiffany is fantastic, and I've seen her many times at DrupalCons, and I just could not remember her name to save my life.
There you go. Hey, let's do some picks of the week.
I love picks of the week. Mike, why don't you go ahead and go first?
Mine's going to be short and sweet. I just posted a quick tip on Drupal Easy's Twitter feed, at Drupal Easy, about this, because I'm falling in love with this module, and it is called Better Messages. It's at drupal.org/project/better_messages. And what this module does is it takes all of those little Drupal set messages text blocks and puts them in a very pretty floating CSS pop-up window thingy over all of your content, so you don't miss these messages. Let me give you for an example. If you add a new node, click submit, you usually get, depending on your theme, a little bit of green text or some text above your content saying a new node has been added. Well, sometimes, depending on your theme, that might be hard to see. What Better Messages does is it puts it like in a pop-up. Not a browser window pop-up, but a CSS pop-up. And it's got all kinds of nice settings where warnings will fade away after 5 seconds, but maybe errors have to physically be clicked to close. It's dead simple to set up. We recently found a little bit of an issue with it. And the developer was very quick to fix it. So it's just one of those modules. I've deployed it on 3 sites in the past 2 weeks. So I would encourage you to check it out.
Fantastic. And Damien, do you have a pick for us this week? I know you're our guest, but we kind of prepped you beforehand, so I hope you're ready.
Sure. My pick is a kind of newish module called Taxonomy Manager. It goes beyond the basic taxonomy configuration pages, more for the term management, and lets you do major restructuring of your terms within a vocabulary really easily. It's got a drag and drop interface for moving terms around. You can merge terms together, and ooh. When you do that, the neat thing is it will point all of the nodes that used to use those terms all at the one new term you tell it to use. So if you've got, say, a vocabulary for fruit, and you've got apple, orange, banana, and you say, okay, I want to merge all of those to plum, it will it'll reassign plum to all of the nodes that used to be assigned to the individual ones.
That's fantastic.
Wow.
It's very nice.
That's kind of like, I like to use Delicious, and back in the day, Magnolia, and they let you merge some of your tags together, which I like that feature quite a bit. If I misspell one, especially in a free tagging environment, it works out really nicely.
Yeah. This came in useful for one project I was doing at the 9to5, where we used a keyword generator, the Yahoo one, mm-hmm. and another one, to automatically assign terms to historical content. So we had this massive collection of terms that, unfortunately, because there were so many, it diluted the relevance and the usefulness of them. So to go through and reshuffle all of that through the normal configuration tools would take ages. But using Taxonomy Manager, you just go through, select the ones you want to merge, ones that are very similar. So if you've got something that says Orlando Sports, Orlando Entertainment, Orlando Movies, select them all, and merge and put them all into one. And it's very, very quick. So that is taxonomy_manager on Drupal.org.
Sounds great, Damien. And I guess I'm bringing up the rear this week. I went ahead and picked a module that's not actually really released yet, but it's so useful, and I did use this in the real world, so I can say that it at least worked in the situation where I deployed it. It's called File Field Sources. It's by our friend Mr. Nate Hogg, a.k.a. QuickSketch, and he's really up there in... He writes a lot of modules, and he writes a lot of modules that seem to read my mind before I want to go and say, oh, there really should be a module that does this. There's Nate. And Nate actually books himself as a designer, not a developer. So I have to give him big props for standing on both sides of the fence.
I'm calling him a liar, though.
Ooh.
Because he develops out the wazoo.
Yes. Yes, he does. But if you've ever seen his site, he has some serious, like, vector graphic awesomeness.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a talented individual.
Well, File Field Sources solves a very simple problem. You have these CCK file fields, and you want to fill them with something. It might be an image, it might be an audio file, it might be a video file. So in the particular situation I'm talking about, we want to have, let's say, a video, and we want to process it in some external place, maybe on another server, have it run on some script, and now it gets a public URL, and now I want to go and I want to grab that file and I want to bring it into my Drupal instance. That's okay. Just type in the URL, and this module will use curl. Go out and grab that file, bring it in. Another situation, maybe I've got this file, it's already in my Drupal site, attached to another node. Maybe it's a file or an image somewhere else on the site. That's also okay. I start typing the name of the file, autocomplete, go find that file, attach it to this node as well. And file field is actually very smart. If you delete a node that has a file attached to it in a file field, it won't delete the file until every node that refers to it is deleted. Last one is the IMCE file picker. And so IMCE really sort of becomes this asset browser. If you only turn on the IMCE option, you can now have people just upload files willy-nilly into IMCE and then go grab them with this file field sources module. It's very great.
Yeah, that looks like it adds a lot of flexibility to the file field.
And it's pluggable. You could write your own input methods. Some people were talking about grabbing them via FTP, and there's a large discussion there in the issue queue if you're interested in finding out what the outcome of that is.
Did you, out of interest, test that with an image field?
Image field is a file field, so it works just fine.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a big one. Thank you, Nate. That's all I'm going to say.
Wow, look at you. Damien is speechless.
Mike, do we have...
Nate's stuff is just so awesome.
Mike, do we have a site of the week this week? We tend to try to ask our audience to send us a site they've recently completed working on, or maybe for their business, something that's launched recently, so that we can call them out and let everyone go and check out this new fun site.
Yeah, we actually had a few submissions, and the one we decided to go with is, I believe it's pronounced Eerly and Associates. It's at eerly.com, which is E-A-R-L-E-Y. And unfortunately, the person who submitted it to us did so anonymously. So, Mr. Anonymous,
hats off to you.
Hats off. But it's a corporate site. It's quite clean, and it's a pretty nice implementation of Drupal. There's nothing, you know, spectacular on the site, but it's got quite a few content types, and taxonomy is working, and a nice theme was applied. So it's, you know, it's a nice example of, you know, I don't want to say brochureware, but maybe something a little more than a brochure type site for a corporate site.
Well, I mean, the kinds of content they have is actually very similar to the kind of content that you and I post on Drupal Easy, Mike.
Right.
It's just a different subject matter. It seems to be pretty heavy on SEO and sort of organizing information.
Right.
The slide I'm looking right here says metadata life cycles. So it makes a lot of sense that these people design their site in Drupal. They've got, as you said, pretty liberal use of some taxonomy terms and some just pretty easy to understand navigation going on here.
Yeah, and I believe they have UberCart to sell some electronic documents.
Very cool.
Yeah, so well done. Kudos. Hats off.
All right. And every week, we also like to remind you that we want to hear from you. In addition to our book giveaway contests, which are a great source of feedback, we hear a lot of great comments through those submissions. We also welcome you to send us email. We may be prone to answer your questions online or read your messages. And you can also give us a call. In the U.S., it's 321-441-3964, and that will ring to a voicemail line, and we'll be able to record that and post it online if we want to. You can also follow all of us on Twitter. We have a general Drupal Easy account, and every day, or most days, you can find a quick tip about an interesting module or a small little gotcha that you may come across that we like to share with our subscribers. And we've also got Mr. Andrew Riley, who can't be with us today. He goes by Andrew M. Riley. That's also his Drupal username. And shout out to our special guest, Mr. Damian McKenna. And he goes by his full name, no spaces, no underscores. Damian McKenna. And obviously, you've got Mr. Ultimike and myself, Liberator, drop the last vowel.
All right, well, I think that just about wraps it up. Ryan, are we going to be anywhere in the next few weeks?
Well, unfortunately, I can't be there, but we do have a bar camp coming up in Tampa. And so if you happen to hear this before this weekend, which would be, I believe, September the 26th, 27th, there is bar camp in Tampa at the University of South Florida Business School. Go check them out. I believe it's barcamptampabay.org.
And, you know, let's give a shout out to Do It With Drupal as well, because that's coming up in a few months.
Yes, I attended last year, and it was really fantastic. Well worth the price tag, I believe. New Orleans is a fantastic place. And Damien's former shout out, Mr. Doug Van, I know is a speaker. I believe Ali Mika, who we mentioned before, is also going to be a speaker, and as well as an all-star cast.
I believe they just announced that Dries will be giving a keynote as well, and that's going to be December 9th, 10th, and 11th in New Orleans. And go to doitwithdrupal.com.
Thank you, free advertising. So that has been it for this Drupal Easy podcast. Please check out our past episodes at drupaleasy.com/podcast or search for Drupal Easy in the iTunes store. If you are there on iTunes, we would love to see a rating and a comment on our show. And thanks once again to Mr. Damian McKenna. And please be looking forward to our future interviews with Drupal visionaries and book authors alike. Thanks very much. We'll see you guys
thanks
soon.
Thanks for having me.
See ya.
Pregnant pause.